Me and my dick, me and my dick, a tubby little chubby all stuffed with love. It's me and my dick, me and my dick, a willy-nilly silly old cock. Welcome to the first ever episode that's tagged as not for children.
What the f*** was that? I'm sorry, let me redo that.
Why are you censoring it?
Why did you censor that?
Why did I do that?
I already said dick and cock. Where do you think this is going to go?
What the fuck was that? Why did you transform Winnie the Pooh into that?
No bother.
Okay, everybody. Welcome to episode 2 of Star Kids Spotlight. Yes. I'm Random Bystander here.
I'm the Wash.
I am special guest Jeff, who you might remember as Rancid.
I can't even put any energy into my intro joke, just I.
Oh, no. Oh, dear.
Oh, this is going to be a special one, so...
Oh, yeah. This is going to be... Oh, no. So, today's episode is one I'm honestly been worried about and almost stopped me from doing Star Kids Spotlight in the first place. But first... Let's say we do have Count Rancid as a guest.
Finally.
As long as things don't get fucked up again. So I said this before we recorded, and I'll say this again. I'm so happy to have you back, especially for this episode.
I'm so happy to have an episode in which I can repeatedly and habitually swear.
You chose this, by the way.
I honestly, and I know, Random's gonna, gloat at me about this. I didn't expect you to pick this one.
I did.
This is a safe for work episode. I promise you. You can listen to it at work, on the bus, waiting in line for the deli. Take your headphones out, turn up the volume, let everyone hear.
Show it to grandma.
All right. Penis, cock, vagina.
He's just listening to Azalea Bank.
We're getting it all out of our system now. Apparently. We're covering the second episode of Star Kid Spotlight, Me and My Dick. This was a musical that came out, I think was uploaded around the same time as the Harry Potter musical.
It came out the same year, but not around the same time. Right. There was some space in between then.
Yeah.
I think it played for 3 days. Until Halloween 2009, and it was uploaded a little later.
Yeah, it was a college production. Yeah. Possibly was originally created as a 24-hour play, which explains a lot.
Oh, yes. In fact, I got some questions about that when we get into that.
Anyway, this was the second musical on the Star Kid YouTube channel.
Mm-hmm.
Wash and Kirby fan, you've never seen this before.
No. And I didn't realize this until I started looking into this, that I watched the very first video on this, but of course at the time there were no subtitles, so I had no clue what anybody was saying. And also, even back then, I was thinking, I'll pass.
Yeah, the audio quality on this can best be described as baked potato.
Yeah, that's unfortunately early Star Kid. It's just
granted, the camera work is much better this time around. Somebody's grabbing the lens itself and doing a bunch of snap zooms, and it may get tiring, but they're trying. They're trying to make this look
and
better.
The autofocus, remember that.
Yes.
I think because they knew this one was going to YouTube, and a Harry Potter musical was not, or wasn't planned to. It wasn't planned to.
That's true.
But this one, they were like, a Harry Potter musical was a success.
Yeah.
They're gonna put some decent quality in the camera work. And Rancid, is this your first Star Kid production?
This is my first time seeing Me and My Dick. My brother and my brother's dick and me. And this is my first time seeing any Star Kid production start to finish, because I've seen clips. And the thing about this production, weirdly enough, it was a 24-hour musical. Apparently, if it had been better received, they were actually going to polish it up and send it on Broadway, because there was no issue with any of the intellectual properties that you get with other adaptations.
That's true.
It was their first original production, technically.
There is the one like thing that we skipped over, Little White Lie. But we're not talking about that though, right?
No, we're not. We're not. Unless the fans really want us to, which you're good.
You're good.
Let us know, fans.
But
you'll just have to remember Little White Lie as a passable VeggieTales episode.
Anyways,
VeggieTales spective.
So I am the only one with experience with Me and My Dick, which is, that is weird to say out loud. So I was obsessed with a Harry Potter musical because it was like Harry Potter and theater combined, and I discovered it late. So I was like, what else did they do? And I checked on a YouTube channel, and they didn't do a Harry Potter sequel yet at the time. So the only show other than that was Me and My Dick. And I was in high school, so I thought, yeah, I could probably handle all this. And of course, I was a dumb teenager, so I thought everything was super hilarious and funny, and everything was great. And
I have a feeling that you shared this to me. Now that I'm thinking about it.
I probably did. I probably did. But, and if so, I'm sorry. But, because I'll be honest, we'll get to the details later. But I was young. I thought I was dumb. I was an idiot.
Oh, yeah, yeah. This is a perfect play for like 14-year-olds.
Oh yeah, without a doubt. Also, I didn't realize how weird the show is. How just like
I'm gonna talk about that.
Yeah. Anyways, that's my experience with it. And then I watched a couple times again, but out of all the Star Kid musicals, this isn't one I frequently rewatch. So yeah. But we're rewatching it again. I'm rewatching it again. You guys are watching it for the first time. Does anyone want to do a plot synopsis?
No.
I'll step
Well, yeah,
up
have Rancid.
Plate.
Rancid,
yes, Rancid, please.
As our guest, it's your honor and privilege, good sir.
Okay. So here's the deal. Joey Richter is in high school, which makes this even a little more awkward, but a little more understandable as to why he's so fucking goddamn hormonal all the time. And he has a special friend. His special friend is his dick, who is named Dick as a testament to the economy in storytelling. Joey and, by extension, literally, Dick have a big old crush on Vanessa, whose character traits are that she is a hot Jewish girl that Joey pines over, and, well, that's about it.
Oh, yeah.
Joey, Vanessa has a ambulatory vagina, Flopsy, played yes. by one of the show's many drag parts, and it's a flapper, which, you know, that's a decent subtle joke. One of the play's few subtle jokes. And Joey has this friend as well, Sally, and who is constantly pining for him, and he is oblivious to her and thinks that she is gross. Actually, calling them friends is even kind of a stretch. But one day, after seeing Vanessa and getting an inappropriate hug from Sally, Joey's semi bumps up against Miss Cooter, and the two instantly fall in love.
Why is this plot? Just the thing that it's just Rancid describing this plot synopsis so dryly. It's just making
this is literally
laugh.
What happened.
I know it is, but just
this is the literal story.
Sorry, Rancid.
He gets a little pack of Rolaids in his pants, and it bumps against Miss Cooter, and Dick is instantly smitten. So much so that he can't get it up for Flopsy. Not even a little bit. And for ruining his big chance with Vanessa, with sexy bedroom foreplay and O'Douls and everything, Joey and his dick part ways.
Literally.
And there's so much about this where the joke is literally.
I didn't even get into the very character of the old Snatch.
Yeah.
Which is
you haven't gotten into the old Snatch, and you also didn't get into the Act 2 plot.
Yeah.
Which I'm sure we'll talk about eventually, because holy Christ, there's so much to unpack.
It doesn't go where you think it's going to go. It does not.
It doesn't go where I like it to go either.
The thing is, it's just a weird concept, and you could kind of tell this was written in 24 hours.
Not only is it like so obvious that this was written in 24 hours, but was this originally written as a one-act musical?
I have no idea.
If so, that would really explain the Land of the Dicks subplot, because it had ultimately nothing to do with anything.
The Land of the Dicks is a sort of interdimensional utopia, explicitly alluded to, like Pinocchio's Pleasure Island, where you can play pool and
I was thinking
smoke cigars
Pinocchio.
And eat ice cream. But eventually, through his wandering, Dick comes across the lost Dicks, and they all sort of swarm him. Sort of like when a character has a nightmare in a 40s cartoon and is accosted by giant things like, "You've got the Tommy Ache blues." But they befriend him and introduce him to Big T, whose joke is that he is the leader and by far the largest of the Dicks, and also black, which is a great thing to put upon an actor. And Weenie. Weenie is Big T's second in command. All of us will have a lot to say about both Big T and Weenie.
We'll have a lot to say about this musical in general.
Yeah, I think we should, like... Do we take it from, like, plot, or do we start with characters?
I guess we could... the plot is all over the place, so let's go with character. Let's do the positive thing. Was there any characters or any moments that you guys liked about this musical?
Who's starting?
All right, well, I'm going to cheat here. The animation.
God damn it.
Pixar does it again.
You are gonna have to come up with an actual one, because I can already tell you're the least enthused, and that's saying a lot.
I'm going to say that just approaching it in a purely theoretical sense, the character of the old Snatch is ridiculously the very idea is ridiculously slut-shamey, but they took the character, Nicholas specifically took the character in a direction that imbued her with at least some humanity. And yeah. I have to praise his acting performance on that. That being said, it's one of the many, many things I would probably revise a little about this script given the opportunity.
Yes.
My
positive also involved, let me double check this. It also involved the old Snatch, because my experience with this is that I was watching this and my face was, it wasn't a frown, it was nothing. Like, I'm just watching this, and I'm just like, where is this going, and when is it gonna end? The very first laugh that I got from this was old Snatch talking to Miss Cooter. I forget what they were saying, but Miss old Snatch had the line, "You really are wet behind the ears with naivete," and the delivery of that made me chuckle. Like, that was funny to me. And, oh, actually, you know what? I have another positive, but I won't say it in case that somebody else is positive. I don't know, random or Kirby.
I'll go next so Kirby can go last. I liked the character Hart.
AJ was good as Hart.
AJ, he does a good job, especially with his song. Like,
this was his debut too.
In StarKid, yes. He was actually the guy who had his hands up when Voldemort was like no in a Harry Potter musical, and I think he gave Ron chocolate, and he of course composed part of the music in a Harry Potter musical and Me and My Dick. But this is his first acting role as a StarKid in a StarKid production. At least in theater. And I just like the character Hart because for many reasons. One, he literally chews the scenery and I love it. And two, he's kind of plays what I think a Hart would be, which is very energetic, very loving, very praising, very passionate, but also can be very abusive at points if you let it control you.
Yeah. And with both hearts, because you see the heart of Sally as well, and her heart is very much the same, like, keep eating your ice cream! just wallow in misery!
Like, they were obviously trying to go for that, and that's one of the things that worked.
Yeah, speaking of body parts, I do have a single joke that I also want to spotlight is when Joey calls Dick a real asshole and he says, hey, don't lump me in with those guys.
Oh yeah. that one was all right.
It was filled with jokes like that, I'll be honest with you.
I mean, it's like the Dice Man, where it's like seeing it, you're not offended. After a certain point, you're just exhausted, like, yes, cocks, pussy. Very well. Let's move on.
Yes, it's a dick joke. No, it's dick joke number 247. Kirby.
Okay, go ahead, yeah.
Kirby, do you have anything positive that we haven't said?
Well, you took mine. Thanks, random.
Sorry. Damn it. You can talk about Hart if there's anything that you didn't, that, like, I didn't say about them.
Well, I mean, there's some things that I didn't like about Hart that you didn't bring up, but we're not on that yet.
Yeah.
But I generally like Hart. Joe Walker's a good actor.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, that's right. Yes. Joe Walker, who played Voldemort.
I like Joe Walker. I'm not even talking about his performance here. He's just a good actor.
He is.
Yeah.
They have Joe Walker. That's it. That's.
I'll tell you, Joe Walker is in most of these, most of the productions. So don't worry. You'll see most of the Joe Walker.
Cool.
A lot.
Dick has a lot more range to him than Joey himself. I mean, obviously, like, both Joey and Joe, I think, play as much of the range of their characters as they can, but Joe Walker is just given so much more to work with than Richter is.
Yeah, and this also is... I'm very sorry to Joey Wister, who inexplicably plays himself in this play.
Literally, it says Joey Richter as himself.
As himself. I didn't realize until the credits. 24 hours, yes. He's a fine actor, he's a fine singer. Does he have to play an asshole for the second time?
Yeah.
Well, you find a niche.
That's one of my biggest complaints with Me and My Dick, is that it has a lot of the same problems that a Harry Potter musical had, which is it's a bit mean-spirited.
A bit.
A lot, okay? A lot.
I will give one more positive when I was talking earlier about a line that I liked. This is a scene that made me chuckle was... When Joey finally meets with Vanessa, and Vanessa is giving it's like you think you know. I guess it's like I thought I knew where this was going. When we actually got there, Vanessa was giving these pretty obvious signals. So much as to say, I want to have sex with you, And Dick is just like, I don't know. that made me chuckle. I'll grant that, just because I just wasn't expecting it.
Oh yeah, I did it.
Oh yeah, exactly.
Honestly, again, Joe Walker is one of the best actors in StarKid. I'm not gonna lie. He even if the role isn't the best role in the world, he still has a way to like make it his own and make it entertaining.
This didn't make me dislike Joe Walker. How's that?
I
honestly,
okay, I'm looking it up. I'm looking it up, and apparently, the original version of this, the penis play, did not include the land of the dicks.
Oh, I knew it. I called it. It was so clear that just how dissociated it is from the rest of it.
And it's weird because you think that would be something that they would include and later take out.
They probably
because of
were
how
like,
disjointed
vice versa.
It was. But yeah. Instead, it's just an unnecessary use
how,
of power.
How much do you bet that there was like, oh, they had to perform something for the University of Michigan, which it was performed in, and they were like, it has to be a two-act play. And
like, yeah, that's literally the whole thing. It is that. That is like, we have a two-act play, and oh shit, we have like barely enough for like 90 minutes, let alone 2.5 hours. So pad.
I mean, to be fair, if some of the songs were rushed, I mean, I don't know how long it takes to write a song, but there were some songs that I liked in Act 2, and there were some I liked in Act 1, too. Me and My Dick is ungodly catchy, and I hate it that it is.
That was like the only thing I remember about that first time that I watched it was hearing Me and My Dick, and just I over and over again. That's why I associate it with Winnie the Pooh.
I was going to say, like, the Land of the Dicks subplot is pretty much dross, but my god, that Land of the Dicks song.
Yeah, right? It's like, yeah. Why is it jazzy?
There's a lot of jazz in this, because you were mentioning earlier about, like, flappers, and, like, there is a lot of, like, there's a good amount of a jazz infusion in this.
You could tell AJ Holmes is really obsessed with jazz.
I guess it probably also goes back to what you're talking about, like a Pleasure Island type place, that they were going for that similar sort of feel of the roaring 20s vibe, and it's hit and miss. I would give credit for trying for a somewhat consistent style. In fact, I noticed that, like, I wasn't laughing, like, at all, but I wasn't, like, these songs feel better than Potter Musical, even though I'm not laughing. Like, they're, like, technically better, I feel.
Yeah. Like,
actually, that reminds me, I know it's around the time that Pushing Daisies was still airing. Is Brian Holden doing an Ellen Green impression?
I don't know.
Brian Holden
played Flopsy.
Yeah, Brian Holden that played Flopsy.
I want to say it's at least a little bit influenced by Ellen Green.
I don't know.
All right, are you familiar with Little Shop of Horrors?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah, that's especially her. Random.
Oh, Audrey. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah, I can see it. Oh god. Can we talk about other characters first?
Yes.
As much as I want to save them for last, not because they're the best, but just because I don't want to talk about them.
If you do them right away, we get them over with.
What do you think, Kirby fan?
I don't know. I don't want to be here.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Thank you.
We'll get to it. Yeah.
You're very brave.
We started talking about Joey and then we kind of moved on, but this whole thing is just being like really...
It's going to be one of those things where we just talk all over the place, especially...
Yeah. With Joey and Sally, like, it wasn't until like the very last song where they have a line about them being best friends turned lovers, when I just kind of started, like, they were best friends?
Yeah.
Really? I said that. Like, are they friends?
Yeah, I didn't get any vibe of them being friends. I thought she was just like a I thought it was gonna be something like the there's like a YA novel. Cause I mean this whole story of like two people who hate each other turn to love each other. Tale as old as time, song as old as rhyme, Beauty and the Beast. And this story in particular made me think of the YA novel Flipped. I believe Next Door Neighbor that was just like that were just pining over the guy who just saw nothing in her, and then as they grew up, the roles were reversed, and she hated him, he loved her, and I was just getting constant vibes of that, and it's that same story except with a lot of euphemisms. It's a lot more direct about what's actually happening. Not about love. It's about sex.
Yes. And
yeah, the problem with discussing Joey is that his character rarely progresses beyond the realm of horny motherfucker.
Yeah. I mean, yes. And that's the main problem with the musical. It's just like the main
character. It's a feature and a bug.
Yeah.
Oh, what a bug it is. There's like those psych guys that they have. Where I think there's something where it's like there's one towards the beginning where it's like Dick leans onto this one guy. I believe his name is Rick.
It's Vanessa's boyfriend, Rick.
Yeah. We didn't know it at the time, but yes.
I leaned into it and said, Joey, stop putting your dick on me. It's like, what the fuck? What kind of implication? What kind of image are you doing, especially with high schoolers?
Yeah. I'm just going to say, this musical is not aged well. that's an understatement of the century, I know. It is not aged well.
If we wanted to keep this consistent, Joe Amos should have been there since probably the beginning. Joe Amos as Rick's dick?
Oh, yeah.
Joe Moses.
Yeah, Joe Moses, who also played Snape.
I'm not a fan of these things.
It's okay.
I don't know if you got a full view of him, Rancid, but I did want to ask, since you're the Canadian... Did Joe Moses look like Kevin McDonald from Kids in the Hall? Did you see that at all?
He had a pink beanie and sunglasses on, and he was talking like Sylvester Stallone. So not a lot of vibes visible from what I could see.
Okay, then probably like if you had seen him at Snape, maybe you'd get a better view of him. So never mind that. Okay. Did we already run out of shit to talk about?
I'm trying to think of like individual performances and how they were.
Let's talk about. Do we want to talk about Dick already?
We kind of did. It's just Joe Walker.
Yeah, it's Joe Walker.
It's Joe Walker being Joe Walker as a dick, and Is it weird not hearing him with the Voldemort voice?
Well,
I couldn't say.
Yeah.
I
look up Joe Moses, and in most of these image results, he's a black man, but in this one, yeah, I can definitely see it, Wash.
Okay, thank you. thank you for that confirmation. He is
a rapper that really loves red in most of these.
Oh, boy. We're not talking about the weird race undertones yet. Not yet. Dick
is again just Joe Walker trying to be Joe Walker, and Joe Walker is very entertaining, as we've all said. He's a good actor. He does the job well. It's just the role is not that developed. It's literally just like, I want to get laid. Oh, or I want to find Miss Cooter. And that's it.
Yeah. For pretty much the entirety of Act 1, it's just like a metaphorical... You could very easily like read this as metaphorical of him having the conflicting feelings between like, oh, I don't like Sally. I'm saying I don't like Sally, like even though they're supposed to be best friends. It's like, oh, I don't care about Sally. Sally's just a salad.
That's just bad writing.
And also, like, I have feelings for her. And there's the There's something where it's like a metaphorical, like, inner conflict. And then at the very end, Dick literally escapes Joey's body.
Yeah.
And when I do these watches, I usually just, like, when I'm watching a movie for the first time, I usually just, like, sit and watch the movie without taking notes. And then when I finish, I take notes. And for this one, I take notes in between the acts as a sort of intermission and just kind of stewing my brain. And one of my lines is, did the dick disappear literally? And well, turns out it did.
Yeah, I mean, you'll remember that when the tether, and they are apparently all the dicks and vaginas are bound by little elastic tethers to the actors, like they're mountain climbing or they're a especially rowdy child.
Yes.
And they keep tugging. They have a little tug of war, and eventually the tether breaks. And Dick, finally free, disappears into the night.
What the fuck is this play?
And Joey immediately cups his groin. Just so we have, just so we absolutely know what's going on.
Exactly.
This also is not metaphorical, because later on, Joey and Sally meet up when Vanessa like rejects Joey, quite deservedly so, and they express their sexual feelings, and it looked like they were getting close to like having sex, and then he like just checks his pants and is like, oh, I don't have a dick, I can't have sex with you, and I'm not gonna tell you that I don't have a dick. So it becomes an actual conflict of, I really want to have sex with this girl, but my penis is gone. I gotta go find it. Penis, where are you?
There's literally a song called "Gotta Find His Dick,"
which I liked. I'll grant that I liked that song. It was just a completely different thing. It's literally just gotta find it, gotta find it, gotta find it.
With
find
like
this.
Other layers of songs, like Brian Holden just screaming, "Someone tell him where his dick is."
Heavenly
Choir. That's absurd. Exactly. It's absurd. It's absurd.
It's absurd. It's the content of it is awful. The execution of it is surprisingly good.
Yeah.
So I feel like it can get away with that.
But it pushes its luck with absurdity.
The musical in general, oh god, especially in Act 2.
Oh my god.
Act 2 is when it just kind of lost all favors.
Okay, I'm just going to be honest with you guys when I say this. When I wanted to do Star Kid Spotlight, the only thing that stopped me or stopped me from doing it earlier or even suggesting it was this musical. This is the only reason why I was like, maybe I shouldn't do it. But I was like, we got to get through the really bad to get through the really good.
Specifically, and, do I want to subject my friends?
Yeah,
to
exactly. Because
well?
I didn't. I didn't. And I feel bad. It's just because some of them have not aged well. Some of them are disgusting. Some of them are just awful. And some of them are very inappropriate in today's standards. But
I think they were still appropriate back then.
Even, yes. Unfortunately, you could have gone away with it. And as you see, people laughed at it. I just remember, and I hate to admit, I thought it was funny back then too, because I didn't know any better. I was discouraged. I was not educated.
I mean, admittedly, there's sort of a, admittedly, when you advertise for a musical about a singing cock, you're not going to attract the creme de la creme.
That's very true.
Audiences, but at the same time, like the audience was awfully childish in this thing, And I don't want to do the Roger Ebert thing where I rate how people reacted to the movie while I'm sitting in the movie. Like that's such a blue nose thing to do. But I think it was especially notable when, spoiler alert, I guess, the old Snatch and Big T embrace at the end, and everyone laughs because, ew, boys hugging.
Oh,
you ruined the fucking moment.
Because
God damn it! Why? Why do this? Sorry, I'm quacking early.
No,
go ahead.
No, I knew this was gonna happen.
Go ahead.
No, go ahead.
I'm done.
No, oh, okay. I was just gonna say why as well, because like it's just like it never dawned on me how bad some of these like stereotypes were for this musical.
And look, like, cause what age were you? Like 15, 16?
16, probably. 17, maybe.
Like around that time, I was like I'll admit, like there were like a bunch of like YouTube poops that I thought were funny, and then I go back to them and it's like, oh, they said that, huh? So it look.
Do you really like these YouTube poops, or do you just like how Jack Black yells shit? Do you like the sound of it?
I like when they say "sauce" and just over and over again. I mean, some of them still there's like a couple that still hold up for me, but like when you're like a teenager, especially an edgy teenager. Like there's just a lot of shit that you're just gonna it's gonna be like, it's not that bad. You don't have to dwell on the past too hard. It happens to a lot of us.
It does. There's some things. It just goes to show that a lot of things that we hold nostalgic don't always age well, and this musical is one of them. Hell, there's probably a reason they don't mention this musical that much, other than like a few songs that, I'll be honest, don't really have to do with dicks. Like, I know there's some song from Me and My Dick that they use on tour, but they use Ready to Go. And the song that Sally and Joey sing, which might have been written by Darren Criss and then just put in the musical, kind of like a lot of other stuff from Harry Potter musical. And Listen to Your Heart and a few other things. They brush away that musical, and for good reason.
Basically, anything that involves cocks in any way, they quietly sidestep.
Yeah.
I honestly was expecting, like, because I was expecting something like the Thunderpants movie, which is about a little boy who can't stop fighting, and they do like the fart jokes like at the start, just so you understand that, yeah, okay, this is a movie about fighting, and then they just kind of move on to other scenarios. And I was honestly expecting that there's just gonna be like the like for the first bit there's gonna be like cock cock cock, and then okay, well, let's do an actual story. It never did that. It never stopped.
This folio really gives Urban Dictionary a workout.
Oh, good lord! The things that they
So, I'll say it if no one else will.
Yeah,
there is a character that finally breaks, like, sort of. It's sort of like a watershed moment. The leader of the Council of Pussies, the Grand Cunt.
Yeah,
like, God. I forgot about that scene entirely.
It's worthless.
Yeah, it really is. It's padding and bad.
It's almost entirely worthless, except for Old Snatch's like emotional appeal.
Yeah, like literally, that seems like the only reason they made that scene was just so that character can have that moment, and they can give humanity to that character, or at least try to.
I won't say save the cat. But it felt very much like we're putting this in because the plot needs it, apparently.
Yeah.
This plot structure needs it, apparently. Because, so much of this was superfluous, especially the second act. Like, this being like a one act, obviously.
Like, it should have ended. I hate to rewrite the play, but my guess how the original one act version was everything up to the one act. Joey doesn't lose his dick. Hart mm-hmm. comes in and he tries to like get Vanessa that way, but it ends with them being all together and such. I don't know. I honestly don't know how it would have ended, but like I have a feeling the the removal of dick was not originally part of the plan.
I suspect that heart was not in the original version. That was something that they added in later. And the fallen, they probably had some other thing, like to speed up the fallen out between Joey and Dick. But again, who can say for sure?
Honestly,
did we even mention Sally?
No, not really. Who's played by the same person who played Ginny in a Harry Potter musical?
Also, somebody who gets verbally abused nonstop.
I hate that they did this trope in the beginning of their musicals. I hate it. It stops. I swear to God, it does stop after Starship.
But hey, what's the next musical that we have, Random?
A Harry Potter sequel.
Yes.
Shit.
So here we go. Anyway, is there anything to say about
Unfortunately, Sally? She's literally Ginny, but a different character.
Yeah. Sally,
how they
is...
portray her in for those of you who don't know, it's basically how Sally's portrayed in this is how she's portrayed as Ginny in a Harry Potter musical, only hornier.
The virginal girl next door, and as a result, gets maybe the most development out of any of the cast, which not a good look, but.
There's like so much focus on like, I guess we can talk about Little Miss Cooter later, but there's like so much focus on her being a virgin, like even talking, there's even like a line from the, what was it, the Grand Cunt, is that what the name was?
She is really called that,
what the fuck?
There's a line from the Grand Cunt, it's like, do not speak if you still have a hymen. It's like, oh my god.
Like what the fuck?
Yeah. Like, anyway, you were saying.
Like the Council of Pussies, as... Random, you're going to have to calm down. The Council of Pussies is basically portrayed as a bunch of... It's something that I definitely have issue with. They're basically portrayed as bitter old harridans who have all been fucked and left. You know, it's that they don't believe in love anymore, especially not reputedly Flopsy and Old Snatch. And Flopsy has these weird, like, sort of battered woman tropes associated with her, like,
oh,
she
keeps
trying to leave Rick's dick but she can't, and at the end he basically swaggers in like, hey bitch, I'm coming inside you, oh, and it's like, well, this isn't a terribly happy ending.
No, it's not.
Oh god.
I think to sum it all up, this is just
even though we still have so much time left over, go ahead.
This might be a time where we end early, depending on
but
the thing.
We didn't even touch on Act 2. We barely touched on Act 2, and we did not go that far into the not villain.
Are you talking about
Big T?
Big T and Weenie?
Well, Weenie turns out to be the actual villain.
Yeah, which is... fun fact, this is the first role appearance for both of them. I will say both of them get chances to redeem themselves, I think, when it comes to like, better
sure
roles.
Hope, I sure hope so.
Trust me, Corey, I think his name is?
Corey Doors, yeah.
Corey Doors, he definitely gets a chance to redeem himself.
Okay.
I think Weenie was a thing where it's like... Where it's like, I'm looking at Ariel and I'm thinking, are you playing an annoying character or are you being annoying playing an annoying character?
I mean, she's one of the underrated ones, I think.
Yes.
Underrated characters or actors?
Actors.
Okay.
Actors, thank yes. You. Yeah. Thank you. Weenie was, Weenie is sort of this, he's a little dick with big man syndrome, so like
the scrappy do of dicks, if you will.
The scrappy do of dicks, and also like talks in a lot of like She has like a black vernacular speak.
I don't know if it's from hanging around Big T or what, but Weenie has like Weenie starts out as sort of like a scrappy little Brooklyn type, and eventually it's just almost entirely AAVE.
Yeah, I was thinking of the crows from Dumbo, and that's never a thing.
No!
That's never a thing you should remind people of. Oh, God. And it...
Oh. No, it's fine. This I knew this was going to be a hard one to get through. That's why I wanted Rancid to be in this to begin with. Because I knew Rancid would help us.
Yeah. Speaking of which, because of Weenie's size, there is also this kind of pointless deus ex machina where apparently, like, no one can journey to the land of the dicks, like this weird phallo-centric pocket dimension without help. Mm-hmm. But then at the end of the movie, at the end of the play, rather, there's just the bird that tried to eat Weenie thinking he was a worm comes back.
Which, by the way,
for no reason.
Who did it?
Yeah.
Which is, by the way, this is not the first time we've covered a movie where someone dies of a bird in work in progress.
Oh yeah, that's right. Buzz Life. Oh,
Kirby, how would you rank the two?
Oh, I like the Bug's Life less. Don't get me wrong.
Wait, really? Wait a minute. Whoa, what the fuck? Okay, we'll talk about that later. I understand if you want to be quiet during this one. I get it, but. Oh, that raises so many questions for me.
this is a deeply felt hatred.
I mean, but yeah, it's just it's again, it's the 24-hour play thing, or this makes me think that this story was rushed, or definitely the second act was rushed.
And just like we touched on it before, just like the huge amount of like. Amount of like slut shaming in this.
It's awful. It really is.
Especially against Tiffany, who's like the doing like a dumb blonde archetype.
Yeah.
It's like not even old Snatch is really on Tiffany's side. Like, yeah. She just sort of says, "Look, I love you, but you're the dumbest fucking person I've ever met."
That's literally the line.
And that's gotta hurt. That's gotta hurt coming from your coos.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's like I barely classify Tiffany as a tertiary character. She's almost like an ancillary character.
Yeah, call her a character?
And yet, the old Snatch. I mean, like I talked about this problem with Joey and Dick, but it is so much more prevalent in Tiffany and the old Snatch.
Oh,
yeah. And, of course, Vanessa and Flopsy.
I think it's a problem with the show.
It's a problem with the writers.
It's a problem with the writers.
Writing.
And I just remembered the backstory of Big T.
Yeah, with...
That Big T...
Let's dive into this. These murky waters...
The result of a sex change.
God.
Not how it works.
No, not at all.
I'm going to mention this. I was going to save it for the end, but since it keeps coming up in my head, I'll just mention this now. I was talking with Random, and he was telling me that about like a Potter sequel, and he says he's kind of worried about that one. And he said that like that one, there's a character in that that's like it was so bad that they've had to apologize for it, and
oh.
And they if they had this musical, and they had to apologize for Potter's sequel. I am not ready.
I think this is worse.
I mean, okay. I would say
I think this is worse. Again, my memory for both of them is very this. My memory was terrible for this one because
counterpoint. I'm going to say that they apologized for a very Potter sequel because people just simply don't watch this one as much. it is less hated because it has less of an audience, both by default and because of premise.
Also, they might have because of an unnamed writer.
Oh no, is there an unnamed writer in this?
No, for the unnamed writer of the Harry Potter books.
Oh, yes. I thought you were talking about the writer of the musical.
No.
Like, oh god, do we have to go there?
The writers are very supportive of like trans rights and all that stuff.
Oh,
because
okay.
If they weren't,
that's right.
If
Harry Potter, Harry Potter author, Mr. John Lasseter.
I will have to clarify that you're saying that this didn't have an audience. However, it's a small
audience.
This musical has the weird distinction when the soundtrack for Me and My Dick, because they couldn't release the soundtrack for Potter musical for obvious reasons, and the when they released the soundtrack for Me and My Dick, probably like just on the back of the Potter musical support, the album for this one became the first ever student produced cast recording to debut on the Billboard charts. Like this,
it fucking charted.
It was number 11 in the top album chart. It beat Glee, and it's really funny
for people who know about Darren Criss.
yeah, that's true. It's like I found the original report on it, and it's like it was sandwiched in between Phantom of the Opera at number 10 and Rock of Ages at number 12. Like that's the and both of them and like this, you're talking about a London production and a Broadway production, and this was in between.
Honestly, that, like both of those things, like Phantom is such a beast.
Yeah,
yes.
Absolutely. And Rock of Ages, well, those are all songs you already know. They've already got a built-in audience.
Yes.
I will not lie. This musical got famous because of a Harry Potter musical.
I don't doubt that for a moment. That people were just like really pumped up with it. And they were ready for any musical. And it's like, great, here's a way to support. And there it is.
There it is.
And the Billboard charts.
God, that blows my mind. Just imagine a popular radio station being like, all right, next is the top 11. Billboard hit, Me and My Dick.
No, it's time for the song, gotta find his dick.
Yeah.
Look, I know there have been weirder stuff put out, like Urinetown and Chess.
Urinetown's really good, though. At least
Urinetown is fantastic. It also has a better villain song.
It does. Oh my god.
Oh god, yeah.
There's like two that are like I can think of two villain songs.
Yeah, there's the mob song and then there's the father song. Yeah, it's fantastic.
Yeah, exactly. But, and the cop song too. And the cop song, don't forget about that.
The cop song, right. But we're not talking about it. Even though there have been weirder musicals put out there for Urinetown and Chess, I struggle. And I am a person who saw Spider-Man turn off the dark in its original run at the Foxwood.
Wow.
Oh my god.
I know from weird fucking musicals, man. But I still have some of the paper confetti web shooters that he shot out over the audience.
Oh,
in
damn.
A drawer somewhere.
Did you get Spider-Man's original neck brace after that fall, or were you not there for that one?
That was no, but I did sign his cast. But no, the thing is, I can't imagine, even after significant revision, that this play, based entirely off a guy in pink khakis with a Pepto-Bismol beanie and these fucking testicle jodhpurs, getting anywhere but off-Broadway.
No, wouldn't it will not. It'll be lucky to get on there.
It would be like off.
It would be the office of Broadway. It would possibly be, and I
somewhere
think they were
in the
planning,
mountains of New York.
Yeah,
me and my dick.
They were planning. I think they wanted to try and get it on Broadway, and thank God they did not. because if they did, we wouldn't be doing this right now. and
sort of strangled that in the crib, as it were.
It's just
like an instant career ender.
Oh yeah, it would have been. Maybe not at the time, but eventually it would be, because this stuff would not fly on Broadway, especially it doesn't fly anywhere. It doesn't fly. Just like the pussies should not fly in the act. Why is that a thing? Why is that a story element? Why is it?
Why is Joey Richter playing Joey Richter? He's playing himself as a in high school. Who apparently was really tempted to own a black penis. Because
why did I like this?
He is apparently apparently so given to frauturism with other students that he is called out for it in the hallway.
This is
I knew this was going to be a hard episode. I knew it. And I'm sorry. That was not a bad pun. I did not plan that. No.
Well, that was a real boner you just did right there.
Fuck you.
I can't believe you pulled it off.
God. That was actually...
That was really
good. Honestly, these jokes are better than the musical. And I'm not going to lie. I enjoy a lot of the... I love the actors. I love the Starkid Productions. I really love their other work. It's just that this ain't it, Chief.
So, we've talked about how it doesn't work for many, many other reasons.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's time for I know it's asking a lot. It's time for a special perspective on how this doesn't work and it wouldn't fly today. So, Kirby,
if you were comfortable,
purely voluntary, of course, anything to add about this whole thing?
Yes, actually, I have something very important to add. Shoot, I had a joke and I forgot it.
Oh,
no!
It's over. It's over.
What has this done to us? The
spotlight has ended. We're canceled.
Thank God.
All right. I mean, I swear we gotta get through the bad to get to the good.
I don't know how to... I mean, it's worth it. This isn't something... This isn't something that I keep secret. I said this, I think, even on the podcast multiple times, on my streams, on my channel. I'm asexual. I don't feel sexual attraction. Like, I was gonna say generally, but really at all. I mean, I know there are a bunch of different types of aces. I'm not the kind that's repulsed. I'm very indifferent. That's my thing. But the way that...
Simply not a concern.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. But, you know, it's such a big deal in everybody's day-to-day life that, you know, you feel a little weird not feeling it, feeling that indifference, and then, you know, you try to get on the level that everybody else does, but you just can't because you don't get it, and it just makes you feel really bad, like you don't belong. And watching this, I haven't felt it in a while, but watching this kind of reminded me that it's like, oh yeah, there's something wrong with me. Oopsie doops.
Oh,
I mean,
not at all. Forgot. There is something wrong with the musical.
Even by the standards of horny teen comedies, these little freaks are going at it like bonobos in a cage.
Yeah, they had a line in there. Somebody brought it up before, but they had a line in there where it was like, "Without love, I couldn't have seen her like this, but without my dick, it couldn't happen at all."
Like, something, oh god.
It's paraphrased, but you get the idea. I mean, I really don't want to think about this, but we talk a lot about how, you know, oh, it's so bad that people are laughing at this, and it is. But tone it down a little bit. Obviously, it's Broadway, so you're it's theater, I'm sorry.
Yeah, it's not Broadway.
I'm sorry.
Could have been.
It's theater, so it's exaggerated, but unexaggerated, and like it's not terribly far off.
I would also like to bring up a end of show twist wherein Tiffany gets Weenie as a penis.
Oh, what the
hell? Oh, I was gonna ask, like, what the hell happened there?
Yeah, and apparently, what the fuck was that?
And apparently Weenie will compel her to murder.
Oh, God.
I can't even back then I was like, what the fuck?
I didn't understand what was happening. Like,
no, neither did I. And they were desperately trying to just, like, have that funny ending where they're bringing all the cast in.
Specifically, it's like that, it's that theater trope where all the disparate characters get matched up at the end.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, literally. It's
remember when Potter musical ended, but then, as it turns out, there was one scene left of Voldemort and Quirrell reuniting.
That was good.
That was nice. That was nice. That was nice.
That was really nice.
It was really funny.
It was really funny, and it was like you almost gonna cry. Like, it was just so because it's just like we have this bi icon Voldemort in this, and then you go to this, which is just the most hetero musical, and this is a $5 word, the most allosexual musical. Like, it
$5.
It praises,
I don't know what that means.
Allosexual is the opposite of asexual.
Okay.
It's like hetero versus homo or cis versus trans.
Alright.
Yeah.
It's I'll top you. The phallogynocentrism dichotomy in this is just off the fucking charts.
There's like the one mention of assholes, and I honestly thought they're gonna like try to go somewhere with it, but maybe they thought like there's just no way we're gonna have like people dressed up as anuses in this.
I don't want to think. Oh god! I just had a terrible thought where like Big T was a compromise. Because they originally cast Corey Doris in as an anus, and he was like, no! No!
Oh, God.
Oh, God.
I was expecting, like, some... I was especially after Voldemort, I was expecting some sort of hint of, like, gay sex or lesbian or...
Right, they don't touch that issue at all.
Not a one.
Not in the slightest.
It is so bare bones. Dick meets penis.
Like, for a play called Me and My Dick, think about it. You have the option to talk about all kinds of different, like, sexual things. And
asexual
things. That are not
things.
Sexual. Like,
yeah.
even, like, talk about, like, lesbians and bisexuality.
Yeah.
And hell, asexuality. You
That's
have,
never
you
happening in a million
that.
Years, Bryn.
The only thing remotely queer about this is the chaste homoeroticism in which Joey and Dick live.
Yeah, that's the closest we get is that they have a little like they really have like this I guess you could call a sex scene. With the masturbation,
there's a massage.
Yeah,
but
massage.
It's heavily implied.
Extremely implied.
This is gonna be
a very easy episode for you to edit.
It really is, and I hate that.
I think the moment where I realized, oh, the whole show is kind of gonna be like this is where they is that early scene where Joey says to Dick, oh, you got up before me? And I just thought, oh, okay. Yep. Trotting out all the old standbys.
Yeah, yeah. Just like every single thing. And especially if we're talking about high schoolers. Like,
I think they could have actually gone a little further in terms of the breadth of jokes they displayed. Rather than just saying pussy clot clit twat queef.
Yeah. Because that's honestly half the jokes. And
like, it's at a certain point, like, are we just at a certain point, even when you're a child and you say something naughty, the thrill wears off.
Exactly.
Yes. Yeah.
Even if you say the bad thing in front of mom, the thrill wears off.
Not here. It just
no, it wore off. It just they still went with it.
Oh, no, I'm saying like for them, it did not wear off.
Yeah,
apparently.
And also, I hate to admit this, and this is no excuse in the slightest. College people are very immature because especially.
Oh God! Yeah.
Oh yeah.
So, oh yeah.
Absolutely.
And we are not the same people we were in college. They probably aren't the same people they were in college. And I'll be honest, the actors, writers, directors, they're not the same people they were in college either. They, but that does not excuse just, like, how much this musical has not aged well, and
mm-hmm.
I'm sorry.
I mean,
sorry.
I think they should kind of have to reckon with themselves if they have grown and matured as people.
And that they kept this musical up on YouTube, what is it, 12 years, almost 12 years later?
Look at our shame.
It's kind of like a YouTuber who still has their old videos up, only instead of the videos being just like bad but still charming, these are just insulting.
It's not nearly at that level, but yeah, I can see like Vsauce, like his old videos are just like gamer jokes. And,
yeah.
And then, like, at some point, he transitioned over into being a smart guy who pontificates nonstop.
Granddad.
Oh, God, don't you start.
I had to just get us out of this conversation.
Don't you do it.
Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Oh, speaking of familiar sounds, there was the one song, I can't remember what the name of the song was, but there's a part where they're singing like,
I'm ready to go. Yep.
I'm ready to go. And I just could not stop hearing, "Who are you?" I could not. And not only that, but like, I was walking away and I was just thinking about, and then I suddenly remembered they did that exact same thing in the previous music with Hogwarts, Hogwarts. Like, they just really love the
I'm gonna point. I'm gonna point something out. The breakdown in Land of the Dicks is also taken directly from Zoot Suit Riot.
Oh, what the heck is that? I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know what that is.
Zoot Suit Riot is a chart-topping song, which is a testament to how it was in the 90s. By the swing revival band Cherry Popping Daddies.
I'll have to listen to that.
Yeah, so that when they go trouser snake, private dick, da 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 da, that's the breakdown from Zoot Suit.
Oh, okay.
Oh,
because I've heard that in other songs too. Like,
well, yes, it is kind of a Glenn Miller thing, but. Specifically, this exact melody was taken from Zoot Suit Riot.
Oh, I believe that, yeah.
Is there anything else that we should
talk
about?
Which is weird because so much of the other, the rest of the song is like completely creative, and then they just do that.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's not like this part of the plot was written in a rush. You could have done a little better.
I mean, for all we know, this could have been a homework assignment because they went to the University of Michigan, which is like a theatrical school. We don't know. We don't know. I don't know what happened behind the scenes, but
I imagine it was just like, go, 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 go.
Yeah, exactly. I feel like this and Harry Potter musical were written very close to each other.
Like prop to the production team with the fashion, like for this. Horrific, this bizarre premise. They at least do something with the different costumes and stuff, especially like we were talking earlier about like trying for like a Zoot Suit with Big T and the flapper looks, flapper dresses.
Yeah, like I will give, yeah, the costume department deserves some,
like, yeah. The like Flopsy's pink feather boa in particular, and the fur stole, as well as Old Snatch's stubble, which implies that Tiffany is something of a gorilla salad. But no, it's creative.
Yeah. Point there. Hart also, like, we
Oh yeah, I love Hart's outfit. I've always wanted Hart's outfit.
I can see you in Hart's outfit.
Our just, Hart's outfit is really good.
Yeah,
I can see you being like a just sort of the showrunner, the ringmaster. That's what it very much looks like. It looks like a P.T. Barnum sort of.
Yeah, I got that vibe too with Hart. And I'm pretty sure that's what they were going for.
I wouldn't doubt that.
I'll mention a few things about the cast.
I don't think you
there
can.
Is a lot. Oh, timers!
We finally did
timer,
it.
Timer.
Oh, thank God. Never mind. I was just going to say there's some people who... There's the actress who plays Vanessa. Actually, this is her only Starkid production.
I noticed that. I saw that like she doesn't show up until like extremely recently as a cameo.
Yeah. Maybe it's the part, and this is being extremely charitable, but at the same time insulting. Maybe this part of Vanessa is so underwritten because they couldn't find much for her to do. I don't know.
Maybe.
Like I said, it's slightly getting them off the hook while at the same time being incredibly insulting to both them and her.
I'm sure she's a fine. She is apparently on Twitter. I looked it up this today. She does post on Twitter regularly.
Well, who isn't?
Who does? Yeah, who's not terminally?
And apparently,
online.
She's just too busy to like do any of the other StarKid shows, according to what I've read. Anyway, we're done with this. We're done with this. Thank Christ.
Just about to break my tether myself.
We did it. We did it. We went through it. Final thoughts. Anyone want to go first, or should I go first?
I'll go first.
Go ahead.
I didn't like it.
Great.
I feel that. Is there anything else you'd like to say, or anything you're comfortable saying?
No.
Understood.
And you still think this is better than A Bug's Life?
Yes.
Oh yeah, you didn't get the do you want to elaborate on that?
I don't like A Bug's Life.
Elaborated. Thank you.
You're welcome. It works for me.
All right.
I'm not used to Kirby going first for these at all. But if me and my dick made that happen, and for that I say fuck you. Me and my dick. To me and my dick, not to Kirby. Who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Oh. Go ahead.
All right. Sorry. This musical, I feel ashamed to have liked it back then. Because I used to say like, oh, this is funny. This is good. And to be fair, some of the songs I really still do like. And some of the performances like Hart and Joe Walker and a few others I really do like.
It had a lot of heart.
I think that most of the jokes that got a chuckle out of me were not necessarily writing based, but performance based.
Yes.
Yeah.
100%. Without a doubt. A lot of lines that, like for Joe Walker especially, he's funny in this because he's Joe Walker. And that's probably why a lot of people liked him, because they just saw him as Voldemort and they're like, oh, it's Voldemort as a dick. It's funny. I didn't expect it to hold up. I really didn't, but I expected it to be slightly better, or at least have some funny lines, but it just did not age well for me at all. And it's one of those moments where I genuinely feel bad for showing it to you guys, and I'm sorry. But we gotta get through the bad to get to the good. Like,
hey everybody, if you like the podcast and you want to know more, you can follow us on our Twitter account. On twitter.com/workinprogress, we have a SoundCloud.
Not that.
Is it SoundCloud?
Neither of those things are correct.
Tasha Rancid, who wants to go next?
I'm going to go next.
Yeah.
This is something that I could consider. You know, I will say that for the most part, the music's greatest crime is being, in some spots, forgettable, but serviceable, and in some cases being really great. The problem is, this is like unwrapping a giant gift box to find like a single chocolate orange inside. There's just too much surrounding it. And maybe I don't even want a chocolate orange. So, you know, it has to do with content as well. This sort of got away from me, but the point is that the music is good and the book, very simply, is not.
That's a good way of putting it.
Yeah.
Wash?
What's that? Rancher just took it. That's it right there. That's the whole thing. It's the writing sucks.
It does.
It's not. Again, like we talk, like you guys were talking about, like Zero Town. Like, there's a way of making like. I have nothing against blue humor. You can make a fart joke like the smartest thing ever, and I can give examples of those. I'm not going to, but. Like, I'm not against blue humor of this kind. It's just that this has got exhausting.
Part of the two elements that can make vulgar humor successful are one, surprise, and mm-hmm. two, poetry. You can either surprise the vulgar humor. If it's done in a very well-timed way, or if it's phrased in a surprisingly artful and melodic way.
Yeah, in fact, when you say that got me thinking about like why I laughed at those two jokes that I talked about earlier. That like one of them would just like the performance of it. Which kind of elevated it, that it was just like they're just stretching the pun out and even explaining it with naivete, and the scene with the Vanessa trying to give signals to Joey. It was surprising to me that Joey would be at this point just be like, I'm gonna bring in like 50 condoms and I'm gonna put an Axe body spray in my pants, and then when the time came. He was like, oh, I don't know what you're doing. What? He shoved the book. He shoved the book in her face. Like,
shit. I forgot about that.
Yeah, like.
I mean, like that's. I mean, like the let's have chemistry. I think we have. There's chemistry between us with like the gag of the book is sort of, it's sort of like a hoary old naked. Gun type thing, not done incredibly well, but the fact that it was followed by let's fuck is
and of course all the rest the first part I was just like okay whatever, like when I was going through the intermission and just thinking about it, it's like okay, it's not great, but it's a very standard story, like I said, Beauty and the Beast. But then the second act happened with the Land of the Dick and Big T, and wow, was this just painful?
Yeah.
Oof. Like,
this it took a turn.
It did. Anyways.
I mean, actually. If I can close using a Broadway anecdote that mm-hmm. I think is fitting for the situation. So, is everyone familiar with The Wiz?
I am.
Random very much is.
Yep. Didn't we see it Wash once?
So
we might have, but considering that I didn't hear what anybody was saying, I don't think I took much out of the experience. But go ahead.
So, Random might be familiar with this anecdote. So, the thing is, Diana Ross wanted more than anything to be in the movie version of The Wiz. She lobbied aggressively to the studio for this part. It originally was going to go to John Badham, who was the director of Saturday Night Fever. And that would have made for a fantastic pairing. But the thing is, John Badham was disappointed that Diana Ross was going to get the lead role as Dorothy, because he wanted to direct a young unknown, or at the very least, someone who did not have like the star power of Miss Diana Ross. And he was so disappointed about the creative differences that he left. So The Wiz is a movie with Michael Jackson, Nipsey Russell, Lena Horne, and Diana Ross. Music by Quincy Jones, fantastic choreography. And the guy that got to direct it was Sidney Lumet, who you might recognize from 12 Angry Men, Network, Taking of Pelham 123,
Dog Day Afternoon.
Dog Day Afternoon.
Cars 2.
like, mostly a guy known for doing realistic, sometimes quasi-satirical social dramas.
Mm.
And you can tell that even though the cinematography is tight and, you know, shows everything fairly well, he has absolutely no idea, is completely out of his depth when it comes to directing a musical. So even though the music is fantastic, and yes, I do have some issues with Diana Ross's performance because she's acting like a very, very young child when she was in her 30s by that point. Like, there's a lot of crying at the drop of a hat and sniveling and gee golly gosh, and it's disturbing to watch a grown woman do that. But also, the thing is, The Wiz could have been perfect, but that gorgeous music was saddled with people who didn't know what the fuck they were doing.
Yeah, that sums up me and my dick very well. Because, and again, the actors and directors and writers do grow to make great things. At least from what they do.
They grow as performers, they grow as producers, they grow as people.
Yes. Mm-hmm. But they made this before they grew.
What you might call a sophomore slump.
Yes. apparently more of a sophomore slump than A Bug's Life, but Kirby Fan disagrees, so.
I never said that. I just said I liked it less.
What was the, now my question is, what do you like? Me and my dick more? Do me and my dick or Gary King more?
Well, Gary King is just a guy, so I'd have to go Gary King.
Okay, all right. And on that note, concludes me and my dick. I would do the thing. I usually act like if there was a performer who shined for everybody, and I ask each person individually, and if someone names a performer, they can't take that performer. Kirby, is there any performers that you think shine? I'm letting you go first for a reason.
Okay. There is one. It's so when Gumshoe, I'll call him, because I don't want to call him Dick. When Gumshoe, Wash gets the joke.
I got that
Wash
joke.
Gets the joke. When he's separated in Act 2 and he's looking for Sally, whatever her name is, and he's going through the town and he's asking people about stuff and they're like, oh no. The one guy just starts yelling F you at him. And he starts to turn around to go away, and the guy goes, "Hey,
no!"
And then he keeps yelling it just over and over for no reason.
Fuck you! Fuck you! Hey, fuck you!
It's like the line from Cars 3 that made Wash laugh when Mater just shouts at the guy, "You are a mean person."
You are.
Like, it's so out of nowhere, and it has nothing to do with anything, but I just remember thinking,
He just feels so strongly about this little dick down in his ankles.
And then he just turns around to leave and then just keeps shouting at him for no reason.
It reminded me of Sam and Max Save the World, where like if you go up to the office window and he says hello and just like some random guy says get bent. That's funny.
I was gonna think of a specific actor, but you know what? That's a valid answer. That is a valid answer. All right,
I'm glad you picked that one.
Me too, because I forgot about that. That's actually one of the random funny moments that worked. Yeah. Any other actors or anything that shined? Wash.
Me. Okay.
Actually, you know what? Do you want to take some time? Because actually, I should let our special guest go. Next.
That's a good point. Let's give our special guest their chance.
Rancid.
I've said it a couple of times, but I really do admire how much Nicholas Struss Matathia was able to bring out of a, shall we say, less than concretely written part.
Yes.
And he does come back in future StarKid productions, at least one.
Was he in the last one? No,
he was not. He was not. Okay. This is his first one. But you'll see him again next time.
I mean, like, his entire demeanor and the Harvey Firestein growl, and there's just the complete over it nature of the old Snatch did make me smile from time to time. And that's a testament to him as a performer.
Yes. Mm. All right, Wash.
So I will say this is not my answer. I'm going to say, Corridors, you did the best you could. I'm very sorry. And this is also not my answer, but I in a previous episode, I said that Devin Lytle, who plays Miss Cootie, that she was faking a Southern accent, which she does for the second time. And I looked it up, and she is from Georgia. So I apologize for saying that she was faking her Southern accent.
Why do you think that's a running joke? it's a running joke for a reason.
Yeah.
So my choice is gonna be
Don't give random Joe Walker.
I wasn't gonna pick him actually.
I knew who he was gonna pick. So I almost want to say AJ Holmes, but
damn it.
But fine, I'll go with
you can go with AJ, it's fine. Go with him.
The thing is that, like,
I have other people. It's just that was my number one.
I think also like this, and maybe it's because he was young, but like just how like crackly his voice was playing as Hart, like he. Granted, he's got the talent for it, especially the dance skills for it, and like we were talking earlier, just that like the talk performing as both like a Karen and a malicious character at the same time, and it's in a way where it's like, okay, I get it. That's what my heart would do.
And naturally, voice breaking is a big part of any Edwin impression.
All right.
Also, I completely forgot that Hart had a scene where he was going to commit suicide on Joey. Yeah. Random, who's your favorite?
Well, now that my AJ Holmes was picked, I guess I'm going to have to go with, I'm kind of trying not to go for Joe Walker because he's the obvious choice. But it may be, you know what? I'm going Joe Walker. I'm sorry. I can't think of
anything. Wash, I told you, don't give random Joe Walker.
I mean, either Joe Walker or Brian Holmes, Brian Holden, not as Flopsy. Although he does decent performance as the character. He does what he's supposed to do. I like Brian Holden more when he just, during the Gotta Find His Dick, where he just goes, someone tell him where his dick is, and he just repeats it constantly throughout the show. Just enter that whole number in the most, in the straightest face possible, just like in most matter of fact, and just it just always makes me chuckle. And yeah, so that or Joe Walker.
I was leaning on Joe Walker, but to be frank, like I feel like any sort of like any positive I would give is just more just nostalgia for Voldemort. I don't know. I didn't get much out of Joe Walker in this one, aside from just doing.
Can I tell you the part? Can I tell you a rumor I heard about the casting of Dick?
Is the rumor gonna that like Darren Criss was almost gonna be Dick?
Yes.
Yeah, I'm not sure how to feel about that.
I think Joe Walker's the better choice.
I'll grant that. I mean, obviously, Darren Criss made it to Glee, so who can I say?
He's talented.
He's talented.
But,
Darren Criss is in this, ever so briefly.
Yeah, he is. I know exactly where too. He makes a cameo when Weenie and Big T are thrown out of the restaurant. He just goes. And just closes the door and is never heard from again.
That makes sense. Yeah. Wasn't, like, I saw that apparently the reason that he, that they changed casting was just because Darren Criss was already getting famous. and he was already on a TV show by this point.
I can't tell for sure, but I would imagine that.
I think it may have also been because Joey Richter and Darren had been paired together so often by that
point. Honestly, like I was about to say, the reason I don't, I'm so glad that Joe Walker wound up being cast is because otherwise we would have had another Harry and Ron situation from a Harry Potter musical. And
that and Joe Walker, granted, Joe Walker is also a better physical performer.
Yes.
Like this, especially after Voldemort, we got to see just how much he could do with like head turns.
Yes.
Great stuff.
And on that note, that concludes our episode of Me and My Dick. I'm so glad it's over.
Rankings.
Oh yeah,
that's right. We finally had to do rankings.
I know it's been a while. Count Rancid, on the very bottom, you have Cars 2. They're two different mediums, mm-hmm. but if you feel up to the task, Me and My Gumshoe or Cars 2.
I'm regretfully going to have to say Me and My Flat Foot, but only because I felt numb through most of it. I did not actively wish to throw my laptop against the wall.
All right, then if you don't mind me asking, Cars 3 was your second from the bottom, so which would you take between those two?
Oh, did you put the Sonic movie in between?
Oh, you might have. I forget.
Do you remember your rankings?
No, in our last episode.
This was better than the Sonic movie, but the level of humor was about on par with Karma's Day. So I think I'm going to have to rank them as it's a dead heat.
Wow. Okay. For Karma's Day, I understand. Okay. I think there's an obvious, there's a pretty obvious ranking for the rest of us on all of our list. We have a Harry Potter musical.
And then Me and My Dick. I think, honestly, Me and My Dick made you guys appreciate a Harry Potter musical more. So
yeah, I gave a Harry Potter musical a D. I'll change that to a D+.
Yeah, this is.
This gets a flat H for heteronormative. Not good.
No. This gets no grade. It just gets the set. It just has a teacher's note. See me after class.
Yeah. And so far for my rankings, I would say I agree. A Harry Potter musical is better than Me and My Dick. Me and My Dick is on the bottom, and I think it's going to stay there. I don't think anything is going to be as bad.
Boy, do I hope not.
Could please, please, well, no, please.
We'll see.
We'll see.
Rancid, you will be joining us again for another of these. Very looking forward to that.
Yeah,
one,
maybe. We can talk next time.
I won't say which it is to give you the element of surprise.
Yeah,
Sonic Part 2.
Sonic the Musical.
If that only was a thing.
Gotta go fast.
Oh, there's no like Sonic Broadway. We could dub like the Sonic X opening or something. Like we could take turns singing verses.
Maybe.
Then I think that about does it for us. If you liked what you've heard, you can follow us on our Twitter account, WRK Podcast. And also, we have a Simplecast. In fact, I just changed the URL for this just earlier today. So you can find us on our Simplecast, wrk.simplecast.com. Apparently, that's available.
And
thank God.
It's not SoundCloud, it's Simplecast.
It's Simplecast. We don't have a SoundCloud. That would require even more money.
Yes. Anyways, I'm Random Bystander here.
I'm the penis.
I'm the coos.
And this is not the red line of Starkid.
Good night.
Good night. Let's be goodbye.
Goodbye.